Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another day to just be in your presence and gather together in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And I just pray a blessing over my husband that he do well this morning. And I know it was a busy day for him yesterday, and I know that you have something wonderful to share through him. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Greetings, everybody. That was the thing that was wonderful that I shared. We're going to be talking today out of Ephesians. For those that have your Bible or smartphone or stone tablets like Bob has, scrolls. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. 3 through 14, Ephesians 1. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to be put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, the praise of his glory. Amen. All right, so that means that we chose God, correct? How many here chose God? Did you choose God? Ephesians chapter, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. 3 through 14. So how many chose God? All right, did we choose him or did he choose us? He chose us, right? That's what we're talking about here is God chose us. And it says that he chose us when? He chose me when I was 17, right? When I got saved? No, he revealed himself to me when I was 17 in the sense that he opened my eyes to see him. But he foreknew. He knew the time, the place, all of that. When he was going to turn around and reveal himself to me at that point. And it is such a privilege. The one thing that I got from reading this and Bob asking me to study on it was, first of all, why? Why do I got to study on this? There's so many questions that go with this. You know, my first thought is there's smarter people than me that have been able to get into the Word that can answer these questions, but it's still something to be studied. It's still being answered. It's still a mystery that's being, you know, brought forth as far as understanding all of that. But the thing that I took away from it was that he chose me. He chose me before the foundations of the earth. And I just pondered that just for that time. What does that mean to us in reality? How special that was. He didn't have to choose me. It was his prerogative. It was his choice. You know, and there's people in this world that he has not chosen. You know, that are destined for hell. No matter what, because in and of themselves, they can't turn around and come to God. They can't do what is commanded of us in and of themselves. And yet they refuse to turn around and come because of the fact that our sin is passed down from one generation to the next. All have fallen short of God's glory because of Adam and what happened in the garden. So we have to think about that. He chose us. And then I started thinking about, he not only chose me, but what did he choose me for? What was my purpose? What's the purpose in him choosing me? Now, thank God he chose me for noble purposes. Because he's chosen some that for purposes that weren't so noble. How many here would like the fact that they were chosen just like Judas was chosen? Judas was chosen to betray Christ. You know, so I start pondering, thank God I was chosen to do what God wants, not what Satan wants, not evil, not to have to act upon the evil that is in one's heart. That as choosing me and being born again, and that's the key, is being born again, that he's given me a new heart. And then in thinking about being chosen and having that new heart, I started reflecting on, okay, am I really seeking after God? I've been given this gift. I mean, and it's a gift. It's something that you can't even truly fathom because we take it for granted. What he's done for us. The privilege that, you know, being an orphaned, as it says, because it says that we were adopted, having no parent, no heavenly father, you know, having our life was destined to hell no matter what. You know, no matter how long it was to be lived out, we were destined for hell. And I was nothing special. In my eyes, I was nothing special in the world's eyes. And I was probably just a little special in my parents' eyes. But they had not the power to save me. And it was him that chose me. He adopted me. You know? And that just, it blows my mind that he did that. You know, and you think about it, man, that is awesome. I'm glad he did it. I really am. I am so glad. This whole time in reading about this, I just stand in awe that he would do that. That he would do it for each and every one of us. That he would choose us. In spite of it, it was nothing that we did. It was nothing that I did. It wasn't because of any great work. It wasn't because, you know, I was a good kid coming in late. You know? It wasn't that. I choose him in spite of him being late. Right? Bob?
I'm sorry. Yeah, going right along with that, you think of the scripture that says, not many of you were noble. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were influential in the eyes of the world. But God chose the things that were foolish to confound the wise. And like you said, when you think about that, there was nothing in any of us that we could stand and kind of beat our chest and say, you know what, he chose me because I'm smart or I'm as good looking as Charlie or whatever it might be. Sit down, Charlie. It was his good pleasure, his will. And like you say, we don't know why, but we sure are glad he did. You know, as a parent, you adopt a kid. What was it about that kid? Well, we'd have reasons. Well, you know, it was a female or a male, or it was, you know, came from a broken home or bad life or what have you. But with God, he doesn't many times, you know, all we're told is that it was because of his great love. And there was nothing that distinguished us from maybe somebody he didn't choose. And that's the overwhelming thing when you really think about it. Why, you know, and you'll never answer that question. You always just think, why? And the thing is, I'm just grateful that he did. You know, amen. Just grateful that he did. And if anybody ought to be thankful and grateful, ought to be the people of God, knowing, you know, that his hand was upon us and that he chose us. Like out of that nursery, I'll take that one and that one and that one. Little Elmo over there, I'll take that one. And Matt, you know. And so it was his choosing. And that's the hard thing when you get to this book of Ephesians, because it's this whole idea, you know, that somehow it's all wrapped up in God's eternal plan that we're never, ever going to understand. But yet Paul reveals it to us. It's good to understand that. But will we totally understand it? No, we won't.
Amen. You know, that's the nice thing that God doesn't overlook you. You know, he chose you not just because he chose you. He chose you for a purpose, for a destiny, to play a part in his building of his kingdom. And that's so important to understand, that it's not just, oh, okay, I'm chosen. That's awesome. But it's for a purpose, a specific purpose. And that's why it's important to be drawing near to God, to be seeking him out, to fellowshipping with him in prayer, and having that communion of, what is my purpose? Help me to understand my purpose. And that's what he's done for me, is to help me to understand my purpose. It wasn't revealed when I first got saved, when I realized that he was drawing me and calling me and revealing himself to me. And I'm like, yes, definitely, because I cannot do this in and of myself. You know, I accept the invitation. I accept that, but I accepted it because of him revealing himself to me and knowing the truth at that time. And then as that unfolds to this very day, is that there's a purpose for that. The purpose is not only that I could raise my kids in the ways of the Lord, that I can fellowship with you guys and bring forth the word, and we can fellowship together and study the word. There's such a calling on each and every one of our lives. You know, we get caught up in what the calling is on our life in a worldly aspect because we're in the world. But do we get caught up in our spiritual aspect of what we're to be doing from the kingdom side down here on earth? What is our calling? What is it that we're supposed to be doing? One of the things that you guys, most of you should be aware of, is that Jennifer Lindenbauer is in the hospital. I says, yeah, God's chosen her. And unfortunately, to go through such a thing as this. I says, and I see her coming out as a firebrand, because there's going to be no stopping her with her testimony as to what God done for her. And what's amazing is that at this point, she doesn't even realize as much as what we do, what God's doing for her. We're all aware of it. We've all flooded the heaven with prayers, and we see what God's doing. She's laying in the hospital, knocked out, resting, and recovering. And it's going to come, that testimony is going to come from us saying, this is what happened. You see it oftentimes when people are in those trials and tribulations, you know. But she was chosen to give forth God's glory in the midst of that. And that glory reflects from her and her foundation of being in Christ to her kids, and them seeing the trust that one's put into it based on the relationship. And it shines forth to everybody. And I find that just amazing what God's done for us. It's such a privilege and an awesome life to live, and to live it for Christ, and to be all in. You know, that's something I say at work now with these guys, trying to coach them. Listen, if you're going to be here, be all in. Don't be here and then be somewhere else because you're constantly complaining about being here. Do everything you can to change that. So being predestined, is there anybody else we can think of in the Bible that was chosen? Specifically. Every one of them. Was chosen.
Everyone.
Because God is sovereign. God's story is unfolding to us, right? It's unfolding to us, but to him it's not. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So that's why it's so important, because if we were chosen, who do we evangelize to? Well, you know what? That gentleman, he's probably not chosen. I'm not going to talk to him. No, I wouldn't talk to him based on my worldly sense, because I don't like him. I don't like his personality. I don't like what he's doing, so I'm not going to talk to him. But that's the world getting in the way. That's why it's important to be walking and being led in the Spirit, so that all of them would have an opportunity. Bob? You got a hand up over here.
I'm sorry, forgive me.
I just think that's why it's so awesome that God knows who he chose and we don't. Because if we knew, it would, I mean, then we would act like that. We would just say, you know, I'm not going to talk to him because he's not chosen. Why waste my time? But because we don't know, it's our responsibility to talk to everyone.
Amen. You know, and that's just it. And even when it comes to the people that we've talked to numerous times, but yet haven't chose God, right? Well, they haven't chosen him. They haven't been revealed to him in such a way. You look at, it's up to the very last moment, because even Jesus on the cross, you have the two thieves. One chose to believe, right? When Christ revealed himself, right? There was Christ, and the other one was, Jesus revealed himself to him too. You know, so to the very last moment, there's hope. And we don't know if we're going to be that instrument. Our job is to be obedient, to being led by the Spirit.
Yeah, the good thing is knowing that if God has chosen others, there are people that are going to come to him. You know, if we read that the gospel is an eternal gospel, we know that the church is here eternally. We know that there are others, even after we go, that are going to be coming in. If it was just our choice, there was no guarantee anybody would make a choice. So we have that hope that we know that our work will be successful because God is going to direct us. And I like what it said there that it says, according to the plan of him who works out everything in a conformity with the purpose of his will. So it doesn't matter what it is. We know. We have an assurance. There are people we're going to talk to that are going to come to Christ. It's guaranteed. We don't know who they are. That's why we keep, like Kathy said, we keep doing it. But if it was just our choice, well, we know the scripture says no one seeks God. No one goes after him. They've all turned away. They've all gone astray. Our natural inclination, our natural way that we are is not to seek God. It's to run away from God, kind of like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, because we're sinners. We're dead in sin. So we have that assurance that we don't know who it is. It might be somebody in an elevator. It might be somebody in a hospital. It might be somebody in the street, wherever it might be. All of a sudden, God may touch their heart and use us to do it. So we have that assurance, and we know that our work is going to bear fruit because he's promised that is what's going to happen. So what a great assurance that is. No, it's not fruitless. It's going to be fruitful.
Right. And it's important for us to live that life, being led by the Spirit, because that's how Christ is revealed to this world. Jesus is manifested in us through the Holy Spirit. That's how our neighbors, our coworkers, and those that we come in contact with would be able to see Christ. They're going to see Christ in us. They're going to see us different and acting different than the world, hopefully. It says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. We're to be holy. How many here can be holy? You got one. Bob can be holy. Carol. Now here's the thing. Us being holy and blameless can only be done in Christ. And that means that we cry out to Christ, Lord, I need to be holy. I need to be blameless because your word tells me I need this. Can I do that in and of myself? Absolutely not. Everything is going to come back to what God's done and what God's doing for us. That our cry needs to be, Lord, transform me. Now, if we cry, Lord, transform me, change me, right? Yet never pick up his word. Never fellowship with the other believers. How do you expect that to happen? That he's just going to miraculously, he's going to say, okay, yeah, you're transformed, Eddie. You're done. You know, you're holy. He wants us to continue to seek him out, to press in, to draw near to him. And when we feel that we can't do it, ask him for the strength to do it. He will enable us to do what it is that he's expecting us to do. He will teach us. Like me being on a new job, I have 5 employees. What they can't do, I can ask them all day long. But if I don't give them the skill sets and whatnot to do it, it's not going to happen. And then even if I hand it to them, say, here's the instructions, it should be done, right? Well, if they don't read them, if they don't press in, I come back, it still ain't done. That's what happened. I gave you the instructions. Yeah, they're sitting right there, but it's, I don't know. It didn't happen. There's a responsibility on our part still to do what it is that we've been asked to do, to live that life, to live that calling, to take that gift that we've been given and ask, hey, am I doing this? And am I doing it according to your will, to your plan, to your purposes? Does it line up with your word? And confirm that. You know, when we want to do things, we want to confirm with God. When you want to make a decision, do you want to confirm that with God? You should. You should be praying about that decision you're about to make. And you can confirm it, and that confirmation comes through God. Does it come through the pastor? Absolutely, because he's put in place over us. He was chosen to be over us. And some may think that may not be the gift that they wanted, but it's a gift. Because then if I mess up, it's on him. But only if he has the ability to bring correction. That's why he brings it swiftly. He gets it back off his plate and says, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You know, and better swift than letting me go on for his sake and for mine. You know, it's like the Band-Aid. Rip it off quickly. Make it swift. That way everybody stays on track. But you have to have that knowledge and that wisdom to see the gift that we've been given. Have we been given gift with all the teachers that we have? Is there a respect for the teachers that we have? You know how that respect should be measured? Because Jesus was one of the greatest teachers we've ever had, right? He had crowds following him. They listened to him. The respect is if they not only listen, but do what he says. You can listen to teachers all day long, and you can give them respect, but if you're not going to turn around and listen to what it is that they're actually saying and do it, in reality, that's nothing. That's vanity. You got to quit listening, Bob. You got people and work to do.
In the office that I work at, because we had a lady who was there for 7 years, and she just left. So she put 2 weeks in, and she left. And so now I'm the most veteran with the stuff, the knowledge in that office, and it's not very good, I'm going to tell you that. But actually, I do know a lot, but there's a lot of stuff I didn't know because it wasn't ever something I had to do. So now I have two people that I have to teach how to do everything, and so it was a struggle. So this, because they're both, well, we have Alex Wilkerson in our office, but the new lady came in, and she was like, oh, Michelle says how nice you are, and I said, well, she's lying to you. And, you know, we just kind of joked a little bit, but I made point to know because that office always, they were swearing all the time, and I've said this a couple times before, and I always kind of, they knew where I, you know, they knew I loved Jesus, and it was just, I just didn't swear. And so if I said anything mean, they were all like, you know. So I just kind of said, look, I look for the best in everybody. I really try not to be negative. And I said, I don't swear. So that was like, she was like, oh. And I said, and I love Jesus, and that's what you'll know about me. And so there's been struggle over the last couple days, and I had sent them this email this weekend because I had went through the list of all the things they need to learn and how they're going to do it. And I sent them this quote, and I thought it was pretty cool. It was meaningful for me, and I thought even right now it's kind of, it says, tell me and I forget, teach me and I remember, involve me and I learn. And I thought how appropriate that is to our walk, because people can tell us all day long, you know, what we need to do. And we have teachers that are great. But if we don't put an effort and involve ourselves in that walk, we're going nowhere.
Amen. And that's so true, to be involved in what the body is doing, to be involved in the building of God's kingdom, to truly be all in. I mean, I can remember coming to this church, and there God gave me a revelation that if you want to see true growth in your life, if you want to see maturity, you're going to have to get involved in the ministries. In the ministries is what we do, but involved in the body. My nature is to get me off by myself. I've been corrected so many times that you got to go up in a fellowship hall and you need to just meet somebody, you got to talk to somebody. My nature, I have to come against that nature and fight that to turn around and be involved in the body. How many here that teach would, I'd prefer not to teach in a sense. But that's just my human nature, my sinful nature. But because of the love of Christ and what he's done for me, I'm willing to do what he wants, even if it means making a fool out of myself. which happens often. I think he laughs about that. But it's a willingness, Lord, what is it that you want? What do you want me to do? And that willingness is to do that. Now, you'll find that you have special giftings, but in the meantime, you can find something to do. Somebody will be able to find and help you with your giftings, to discern them, to say, listen, I really believe that you're gifted in this area. And that may be the very thing that you hate to do. No, I don't like that. There's no way that I'm gifted in that. But you don't know until you actually start pursuing it. You know, you have to begin to pursue these things.
That's Pastor Don's gift. Figuring out what other people should do. I have a fast question, Kenny. Okay, hang on. Praise God. Answer to prayer. I had one fast question, Kenny. Do you think God has truly chosen someone, but yet they could go through their whole life and not answer that call?
Do I think that?
Yes. You would say God chose us, somebody that really he had a call on their life, he chose them, but they never answered that call. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think so. Because the word talks about God wants nobody to perish. His heart's desire is that nobody would perish. But man in and of himself has not the capability. That we can still refuse in the sense that we can never act upon that. You know, everybody here has heard the same teaching. How we act upon it is going to be different.
That's part of our free will. The only place it's involved, we're chosen, but yet we can turn that down.
Right.
Somebody can come bring you a Christmas present, give you a gift. You don't have
and never
to accept
open it.
You don't have to accept it. Just lay it at the table.
And when you get into this teaching, you ain't got time to do it in a 40-minute class, but when you get into it, realizing that God has created us, you know, some would want to blame God as if, well, I didn't have a choice. This is the way you made me.
So what about those that God hasn't chosen? Do they still have the opportunity?
For those that God hasn't chosen?
Yes. So God chose us and revealed himself, so we have a chance to go to heaven, right? But what about those that God hasn't chosen? Do they have any opportunity? Then you said they didn't, I think, at the beginning.
Yep. Shane, do they? Stand up, sir. He needs the microphone. This is the debate that we were having, and he said he was going to ask questions like you're asking so that he could trip me up, so now I want him to answer it. Stand up, Shane. Ask a question again, Elma.
So he clarified God has chosen us, right? So, and there's people God hasn't chosen. So those people that God didn't choose, do they have the opportunity to go to heaven?
Well, as I've been reading and trying to study up on this, God's chosen everyone. But some he's chosen, I think, for a vessel. In Romans, it explains a vessel of wrath. For instance, Judas was chosen to then go and betray Jesus. So my question is, how are we to justify God's choosing a vessel to be given over to Satan? And I don't know.
Okay. Sharon.
Well, you're up work.
The word does say that he wants all men to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But unfortunately, he has chosen everyone not to perish, but unfortunately he knows their hearts. He knew that the people that were chosen for that reason, their hearts were hardened. They were evil and full of deadly poison.
But now you're saying he chose everyone.
Well, he chose everybody. The reason why I feel special is that I know at this point that it's for his purposes. And I know that because of the fact that I'm fulfilling his purposes. I'm pursuing him in the midst of that. Having been chosen, right, there is fruit that is coming from that that is based on Scripture. You know, if he had chosen me and I see that I'm living a life as a drug dealer and I'm, you know, causing all kinds of harm to people, yet he's chosen me in that sense, there's nothing to be, you know, glorying about that. But my life is to be glorifying Christ in that sense. So when I take joy in the fact that he chose me, it's because of all the fruit that I've seen in my life from the point before and the point after. Now, is there perfect fruit? No. He's come as a tender father, and he's cut off some branches. You know, and that doesn't feel good, but there's still fruit that he's been able to produce in my life in spite of myself, in spite of that sinful nature, always wanting to turn around and just be lazy and not pursue him and not seek after him, that the Holy Spirit has won the day and continues to, because we want to be quickened to the Holy Spirit to do what God's asked us to do. Everybody here was quickened to either breakfast or the Holy Spirit to hear what God had. We could be quickened to our flesh just as easily as we can to the Spirit. And we want to know, well, what is this, the things of God? What is the Spirit? You know, like evangelism. We can be just as quickened to our flesh. Well, today I'm not speaking to nobody. I'm not going to mention you. But we can be quickened to the Spirit to say, listen, Lord, if the opportunity presents itself, please quicken to me and listen for that.
We probably the translation, the word chosen, is not a good word to use sometimes in this case. What is God elected. Sees. God knows what's going to happen. He knows those that's going to come and those that aren't going to come. We don't know that. He knows. That's why you say you're chosen. He knows that you're going to come. He sees the future. You don't. That's why we address everybody, because we don't know that, right? Who can change their mind? Only God knows the future. I always use the example of a presidential election. People in New York, the polls are closed, and the president is already elected, while people in California are still voting because it's 4 hours difference. Do they have a free will who they want to vote for? But yet it's already predestined who the president's going to be, right? Only God knows the future. We just have to walk around, like you said, knowing that we have an opportunity to speak to everybody, and it's God that's going to do the choosing, not us. It's just our obligation to speak to everybody. Amen? Choice might be we take that in the wrong context. That's a good word to use there sometimes. It's probably the closest translation we can get to what God does.
Other side. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I was going to say another scripture, too, in reference to people who haven't accepted God. I forget the exact verse, but it says, no man is without excuse. So if they're not without excuse, it means that they have a choice, rejecting it.
Yep. You know, another question that comes to mind, why do some people choose to pursue God more than others? We all have that ability to choose. Why do some pursue God more than others? We have to ask ourselves that question. God, why am I pursuing other things rather than you? Why am I not pursuing you? And why do I not have this strong desire to not pursue you? And he will reveal the nature of that, your motives. You have to question your motives for things. Ricardo.
This is something sometimes I struggle with, and I had there was a teaching that Steve had in one of the Impact meetings a while ago, and he basically led us to this verse in Matthew. It's Matthew 17:23. I'll read it out real quick, and I use this all the time. Whenever I come up with an excuse to not do God's will, I would use this, and it basically says, Jesus turned on and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And I would use that all the time, and then it just gave me that courage to just do his will, you know, instead. And it kind of like gave me the energy that I needed to do it, you know, no matter what time of the day it was or anything. It just like motivated me to do what God wanted me to do.
Amen. That's why it's important to feast on his food. To read his word, because it's what sustains us in walking his walk forward. And when we starve ourselves from the word of God, when we starve ourselves from the relationship that we have, when we don't come to him as far as in the word, in prayer, how do you expect us to be vibrant and going forward and having that desire and drive to, in spite of what the world throws at us, you know, like Paul and all the apostles and the trials that they went through? How do you propel yourself forward? It isn't going to be in and of your own strength. As always, you turn to God. You know, just like David at Ziklag, when everything was lost, his men and him and his own strength were not able to muster up any kind of a thought to go after the enemy at that time. It was only David recounting what God had done in the past, and this is the God that he serves, and beseeching God and saying, shall we go after them? And if you ask yourself today, shall I pursue God and shall I pursue him with all I have, what do you think his answer would be? And then when it's yes, you're like, darn, couldn't I just gave 50%? So what does yes mean to each one of us is going to be a little different. Because it's yes, 100%, but what you do with that 100%, your outpouring of that may be into your wife, it may be into your husband. Your outpouring is going to include your kids. Your outpouring is going to include the workers that you work with. It's 100% in everything that you do because it's 100% in you. Lord, I surrender all. We sing the song, just like the songs we're going to be singing in a few minutes. Listen to what you're singing. And then ask God to help you to live that out. Lord, this is what I want to live out. My life has not matched up to what I know I've read completely 100%. So there's work to be done. Now that work is on his part, but it's on my part to get on the altar and allow him to do it. I can't take correction from Pastor Don if I never go to Pastor Don. I can't gain wisdom from Pastor Don if I never talk to him. You have to put yourself in that proximity of that relationship to gain that. Betty?
You know, the more you read God's word and doing his work, the more you want of him. That desire will grow stronger as you drawing closer to him, getting to know him. That's the way that he works in me to pursue him. The more I do, the more I want.
Amen. Test and see if God is not good in all things. I mean, once you study the word, you know God is good even in the midst of the trials. You know, when you were in Joseph's life, if you read about Joseph being through all them trials, at all them given points, you think, where's God in this? But it was revealed at a later time through all of that, that he was using that for his glory to raise him up to save a nation. What's he doing for us? Because we often ask, where's God in this? He's there, trust me. He's always there. So we can trust in that. What we're really saying is not where's God in all this. What we're saying is, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to be the one to be the testimony in this trial? Well, maybe you sung a song, Lord, choose me, send me. And he took you seriously. And now you're like, really? Did I say that? Right, Shane? And then some don't have a choice. I exert my will over him. Now, can I really exert my will over him?
Not really, but I can influence him.
I can influence him. I can have a strong influence in his life to kind of get him to choose a certain way without manipulating him. Right? Some people would call it guilt in the world, but it's conviction. Right? Shane, close this in prayer.
Shane.
We're going to invite everybody after we pray to come downstairs. We're going to have prayer up in the front of the sanctuary. It's a time to commune with God. It's a time just to prepare our hearts once again for the great gift that he's given us. You know, to stand in awe. Even if you come up there and stand in awe, sometimes you can't got words to say. You're just like, wow. Really? That you would take me, an orphan, set me in a family with brothers and sisters, and cause us to grow, to mature, to love one another in spite of us, in spite of all our shortcomings, we love one another, and we cover each other's sin with a multitude of that love. Right?
Father God, I just want to thank you today just for loving us enough to choose us, Lord God, that we could be here today to worship you and give you praise and honor and glory. Pray that you just bless this day, and I thank you for this teaching. And I pray we can just meditate on it and really learn how much it means that you chose us and that you really love us that much. Yes. And I pray we just really just press in today and then throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.